originally sat in on the case?
I could look it up. I don't remember the name at the moment, but it would be very easy to find.
Okay, I really think that we ought to make it very clear that this arbitrator, who is obviously not objective, right?
Well, I mean, the arbitrator system is an interesting system because supposedly there is a pool of arbitrators that are jointly selected by the city and the police bureau. And so when a case goes in front of arbitration, that pool of arbitrators rotates, and they've been approved by the city and by the police union, right? So, I actually believe when the arbitrators say, "Well, if you've never disciplined anybody for doing X, you can't now discipline Officer X for doing X if you haven't shown that you have actually held this discipline for every officer who's committed this offense," right? And so that's been the catch-22 all along. We don't discipline officers, so there's no record of disciplining officers. So when you actually discipline one, it gets overturned because you don't actually have a record of disciplining officers. And so you can't...
Yeah, I understand.
Right? So you can't support disciplining officers.
Oh, geez, Joanne. Sounds to me like the system isn't broken.
It's working just as intended.
It's fixed.
It's working just as they want it to.
You're right on. All right, now just one more quick thing, and I heard this on cable a couple of days ago. Jenka Soderbergh interviewed somebody from like Baltimore.
Right.
And I know that Baltimore is your hometown.
Right.
And anyway, after Freddie Gray executed by the
New York
Baltimore police,
right,
the Crips and the Bloods decided that they were no longer going to gun each other down. That they were going to unite.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, you would think, Joanne, that law enforcement would be delighted that the Crips and Bloods aren't shooting at each other anymore.
You would think that would be so, right?
Yeah, but guess what?
What?
They're in panic mode.
Because you can't, you know, because now they're not the problem, right?
Right.
Well, I guess that would make them a little nervous.
They are very, very nervous in Baltimore. I mean, law enforcement. Anyway, could we have like a mock trial?
Well, there's certainly. I know that we were already anticipating acknowledging Erin Campbell. This being the 6 year since Erin Campbell was killed, January 29th. Will be 6 years since his death at the hands of Ron Freshour. And so I know that the AMA coalition is already talking about doing some kind of an anniversary event to acknowledge milestone. And so I think that they will definitely do something. I just don't know what the something is just yet. But today is the press event and rally just to put this city council on notice that this is not acceptable. Mm-hmm. And amazing the difference between having somebody who was willing to take on the police union and someone who wasn't. And so Sam Adams was willing to take on the police union, which is why we're where we are today. But as you can tell, the current mayor has already folded. Well, okay, if the court said, I guess we just have to take them back. And you can't talk about the money that's been spent because all you have to do is look at all the money we're paying the overpriced Chicago consultants to provide oversight of Portland police to know that when they want to spend money, they can find it and they can spend it any way they want to.
Chicago is probably one of the most corrupt
systems
that ever in the U.S. In Chicago, John Burge was his name.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Who tortured Afro-Americans to extract confessions out of them?
Oh, yes. Well, another day we'll start talking about the DA's office and how they've used snitches to... They've had to let out like 39 people so far in this recent snitch debacle that they are involved in. But that's for another day.
All right. Thank you. Which way, Joanne? Thank you so much, you rabble rouser. I want to wish you and your hubby a very, very happy new year.
Well, right. Thank you. I wish the same.
New year, wipe the slate clean. And to quote Mumia, organize, organize, organize.
Yes, yes. Well, and I feel good that we actually have some good people out organizing right now. You reminded me of something, which was that the grand jury was like the first time in their history when Aaron Campbell was killed, wrote a letter, a public letter. You may remember that they wrote a letter because they were so troubled by the needlessness of Aaron Campbell's death that they, for the first time in their history, actually published a letter to the judge to say that the breakdown in communication, the really poor execution of the welfare check that Portland police officers conducted. They basically said there was no reason why Aaron Campbell is dead. There should he should not be dead. That the circumstances did not lead to the conclusion that we have. But I have to also say, here we are 6 years after Aaron Campbell. And did we not just a couple of months ago, Portland police kill a mentally ill person on the lot of a hospital and then the coroner rule it suicide?
Right.
I mean, we have a serious problem, and we have systems that are reinforcing each other. So why would, I mean, that's a show for next year. I want to find out, why would a medical examiner rule a homicide? You know who killed the person. You know the person was killed by bullets. How could you possibly rule that a suicide? Absolutely inexcusable. But that's for 2016. Have a great day. Happy New Year.
Too, Joanne. Thank you so much for all you do.
You too. You too.
Keep on keeping on, girl.
You do the same thing. I love what you do. You just quietly continue to do your work and supporting people who have so much less, and collecting sleeping bags and sweaters and gloves and all that fabulous stuff. You are a wonderful, wonderful person. And I want to be you when I grow up. Have a great day.
Okay, you too, Joanne. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye now. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Hello, Don. Good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey, Joanne. Glad you're here today on this horrible day.
Oh, thank you, Don.
Hey, can you believe? I mean, you raised 1,000 things I want to talk about. But I'll try to keep. Can we get you to expand your show to 2 hours?
I think Teresa would be all over me if I tried to do that.
Okay. Well, that's right. I forgot about that. But maybe you start. I don't know. Maybe you can do 2 days a week, but they're killing 3 people a day, so there's just so much to talk about, because you haven't even mentioned Tamir Rice yet.
Mm-mm.
You know, here's a little kid who gets killed by these two knuckleheads who drive. He supposedly has a gun, and they pulled right up to his face and then jumped out and killed him in 1 second.
Yes.
You know, I mean, the guy is so sick.
And again, no indictment. None.
Yeah. And then guess what? The two officers trained these knuckleheads to be cops got suspended. And yet these guys aren't indicted for murder.
Right.
It's just so sick. Hey, here's a couple of things. Baltimore, more people were killed there by the cops than were killed in homicides.
That's
amazing. Here's another thing, that Washington Post article. What it didn't mention is 40% of the people were African Americans, but you can bet that 20 to 30% of them that were killed were people with disabilities.
Yes.
And they don't keep that statistic, just like here in Oregon. They couldn't tell you how many men with disabilities are in the prisons, except we know it's about half of them. And one reason is because until 1926, we didn't allow African Americans to come to Oregon.
Right.
So we don't have enough of you people.
We had the exclusion laws in place, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, and if you look around, I have to tell you, I talk about this all the time, and I'm really disappointed on able-bodied white women who don't see that they're given a privilege by their, and I don't mean all of them, obviously, but quite a few don't understand that they get a privilege by not being a person of color, not being a person with a disability, not being homeless, not being subjected to the sort of brutality that's just going on everywhere.
Yes, yes. And, you know, for the last day of the year, I normally like to leave people with hope going into the new year. But and there is hope. I mean, there, you know, there's hope because, I, you know, people are paying attention. People are taking action.
And we're still alive. So that's hope right there.
That's right. That's right.
They haven't killed me yet.
Alive to fight another day. Yes.
It is New Year's Eve, but we'll see how the day goes. But
very true.
Hey, let's talk about the Aaron Campbell thing real quick, because you know, when I was about 12 or 13, my dad used to take me hunting and stuff, and me and my brother. And we had an old, and I was the kid, the one who did the Ryan Luton job. He was the guy with the beanbag.
All right.
I scared up the pheasant. I walked around outside and got him moving, got him riled up so they got up in the air and moved. Then my dad would take him out. So that's what they did there. It's an old-time technique. They learn it in the military. You learn it when you go hunting. One or two people will scare up the animals, get them moving. Once they're moving, they're easy to kill. And that's what that's what Ron Freshour did. And that's why he took out that earpiece. And ask yourself, why didn't that that lady, Renner, the supervising officer, she was the first supervising officer on the scene.
That's right.
The DA did not call her to testify. Now, how can that be possible that the supervising officer, they said, well, we called the other one. Well, shouldn't both of them been there to talk to the grand jury?
Exactly.
And so it's all rigged. Just like the grand jury system,
yes,
as we've seen in Tamir Rice and everything else, it is a total rigged system. They handpick who goes on the grand jury. They get to spend months with the DA, having lunch with them, being their buddies. Right. No one else ever walks in a room, gives them a different alternative view about anything.
And you know, the DA, their job is to humanize the cop. Well, where'd you go to school? You know, why'd you become a police officer? You know, what do you do in your off time? You know, who do you coach? Blah, 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 right? But who does that for the person who's been killed by the cops? The DA tries to make me believe that that's their job. They do that. And I don't believe that for a second, that the DA was in there talking about what Aaron Campbell's dreams were, what he hoped for his kids when they grew up, what he was planning for their future. I'm not stupid enough to believe that that's the DA's job. Come on.
As you can see, it's a whole, like the mayor, here's a couple things. That guy at the Ed Venice who got killed.
Yes.
He came from Missouri. He just got released from prison. He was distraught. He thought Oregon was a safe place for him. He came here. The first place he went to is what he asked, what is the best mental hospital you have?
Right.
So he came, got off the bus, went to Ed Venice, told him, look, I got some mental health serious issues. I need some talk to somebody.
Right.
And he went in there. They said, well, what kind of insurance you got?
Right.
Nothing. They said, well, we can't help you.
Right.
He went over to the payphone, started calling all over, trying to get insurance so he could get seen by Ed Venice, our friends.
Right.
And then he finally got angry. No one would. They said, listen, you got to be here a certain amount of time. You got to jump through these hoops. He ripped the phone off the wall because they were yelling at him. The security guard told him to get out. We want you out. They had already called the police. So Ed Venice, as far as I'm concerned, is a co-conspirator in this murder.
Wow.
They sent this guy out. He's walking out with a phone in his hand, and they can't tell, just like Tamar, 5 feet away, they can't tell it's a toy gun. They couldn't tell this was a handle of a phone. They said it looked like a weapon, and they just opened fire from him from, 50 feet away or whatever it was, 100 feet.
Wow.
And they basically executed him on the scene, and Ed Venice played a key role in that murder right there. And this is just going on everywhere. And the James Chassie thing.
Right.
Here, that case was still under investigation by the Internal Affairs. It was still under investigation by the Justice Department. That guy, Chris Humphrey, went out, shot a 12-year-old girl on the train with a
beanbag gun, right?
Yeah, and then these 650 cops are going to put on T-shirts with his name and march through the streets to let us know that if you mess with us, you will get the James Chassie justice. So thank you very much, Joanne.
Oh, yep. That's sad but true. That's the city we live in. But we're going to change it.
Yeah.
Change is coming.
Yes. I don't care. They kill me. I know 10 more people come along. So come on with it, Mr.
That's right. That's how I feel. I feel, you know.
I'm not afraid to die.
No, me either. Not for a cause I believe in. Not that I'm encouraging them to like take me out either. But
intimidation is the rule of all mobsters. So
well, that's very true. Well, thank you so much for your call, and you did cover a lot in a very short period of time, man.
I'm down to 1,300 left. Okay.
Have a great day. Thank you for the call, and Happy New Year.
You too, Joanne. Take care of it.
You too. Coming up this morning on The Boo at 9, Teresa Mitchell hosts Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. At 10 on Flashpoint's War and More War in Iraq. Also, we'll have a frontline report on the battles to get cities, states, universities, and corporations to divest their investments in private prison industry. And we'll have an update on the battle against nuclear power and nukes worldwide. At 11, we'll hear a special program on the life and work of blacklisted Hollywood actress Marsha Hunt, who became a humanitarian and activist. Thank you, KBOO members, for your support during 2015. And you still got time before the end of the year to become a member. Just go online, click the tip jar, and become a member that way. You want to get in on the last few minutes of our conversation, the number to call is 503-231-8187. So again, today at 11:30 a.m., there will be a press conference and rally outside of Portland City Hall on 4th and Main. The rally is being organized by the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform, excuse me, which actually reformed after Erin Campbell was killed. We originally came together after the death of Kendra James at the hands of Portland Police, and that's been 11 years ago, and came back together after the death of Erin Campbell. We just want to make sure that Erin Campbell is not forgotten, that Erin Campbell is remembered as a community member who was killed by people who were sworn to protect and serve him. And we also want to remind the Portland City Council that the entire city council, not just the mayor, is responsible for oversight of Portland police officers. And the fact that we have police officers like Hornstein, who lied to the judge, and she's still in uniform and walking the streets in North Portland and still pretending to be a community police officer in North Portland. The fact that officers David McCarthy and Officer Matthew Husbeck, the ones who thought it was perfectly reasonable to arrest a 9-year-old child, girl, in a bathing suit, put her in handcuffs, put her in the back of the police car, take her downtown, fingerprint her, and put her in a cell, and then tell her mom to take the bus to go and get her. People like Sergeant Reyna, who was the manager of the scene when Erin Campbell was killed. She is still a Portland police officer. The fact that Ron Freshour will continue to wear a uniform that's a Portland police officer uniform is not unique. That he is not held accountable either by his employers. But I will say Sam Adams did go out of his way to try to hold Ron Freshour accountable. And for that, I will be forever grateful. However, I cannot say the same for this city council, because the first thing out of the mayor's mouth once the Court of Appeals had ruled was, okay, I guess we have to take him back. Not let's look at what our options are. Not let's see what kind of legal advice we should seek. But basically, okay, you win, we get to take him back. And then on top of that, the really appalling proposal that you're going to pay a bounty to current police officers to encourage their friends to come. How about actually finding people that have different personalities than the aggressive police officers that we've talked about today, and enticing them to become part of a new Portland Police Bureau that does not use aggressive force against community members, that does not think that it's okay to arrest a 9-year-old in a bathing suit, that does not think it's okay to shoot somebody in the back, even though you have no awareness of what's happening close by and around you, just because you got a rifle. Just like a earlier caller talked about Humphreys with the beanbag, when you bring a shotgun onto a max platform and a disturbance breaks out, where are you going to put the shotgun? He had no choice but to use the weapon he brought with him. And so it was a stupid choice of weapons to bring. And then it was another stupid choice he made when he actually shot the 13-year-old girl with that beanbag gun. You know, the Department of Justice is supposedly now providing oversight of the changes that are taking place within Portland Police Bureau. And I have been fundamentally disappointed in their silence when these kind of things happen over and over and over again. Fresh Hour is one of the reasons why we invited the Department of Justice to come to Portland to fix what was broken. And since they've been here, they have been totally silent about Officer Betsy Hornstein. They've been absolutely silent about Officer David McCarthy and Officer Matthew Husbeck. And it makes you wonder, so why is the DOJ not putting the kind of pressure on Portland Police Bureau that is necessary to have real change happen? In my humble opinion, it's simply because they have created the police bureaus that they want us to believe that they now are going to fix. When you have incentivized arresting people for drug crimes and arresting people for quote-unquote gang activities, and you have as weak of a definition of gang activity as Portland Police Bureau uses, then yes, you are actually incentivizing aggressive policing and providing monetary and promotional opportunities for people who can paint the worst possible picture about what's taking place in the community. And so I normally like to leave the last show of the year on an optimistic note. And so let me be optimistic for a moment. I am optimistic that there is a majority of the city council up for re-election in 2016, which means 2016 could be a watershed year for fundamentally changing how politics happens in the city of Portland. And so on my optimistic note, just knowing that there are three seats up on the city council means that real change is absolutely necessary and possible, and it's within our grasp. But as our earlier caller said, we have to organize. We have to organize and make sure that we are using our resources in a way that actually changes how governance happens in the city of Portland, and make sure that working class people are actually the ones that are in charge of governance. And we have a caller I'm going to try to squeeze in. And we have a caller, Bob. Squeeze. Welcome to K-Book.
Hello, Bob. Hi, Bob. I haven't talked to you in a long time. Hi. I haven't been long time, so I'm just going to make a quick comment. I'd like to say it into the comment. I'd like to say it into the comment when you were just expressing your comments. You're just wasting your opinion. When all you have is a hammer, there's everything left with a nail.
Oh, yes, I like that one.
But I have a good one.
Yes, I like that one. Thank you. Happy New Year to you, too. Thank you. Happy New Year to all of my listeners out there. We have led a wild ride this year. It has been a fun year. I hope you do something safe and warm and dry for New Year's Eve as you prepare for 2016. I normally like to do this show to find out what your New Year's resolutions are. But let me just tell you, my New Year's resolution is to fix Portland Police Bureau and then start looking at the DA's office and figure out what the DA's office is going on with snitches. I think that's a major bigger story than we have to be able to take in place as a yet. And so I also want to send a shout out to all the nooks and crannies where people are just trying to be safe and dry and warm and stay. And hope that they are left and hope to their own devices to them that we can stop and sweep and 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 that
don't make at least $50,000 a year, you will have a problem finding housing in Portland. So be kind to people, be kind to each other, people, be kind to get ready for 2016. 2016. It's going to be a crazy year because it is an election year, and we do have crazy people running for the highest office in the land, for the highest to be president. We got a couple of crazy people running here in Portland as well. Crazy people running here, but it is my hope that the same minds will prevail, and that we will end up with a good outcome because we've all done our homework. We haven't taken people at their word. We have actually made them prove that they're as good as they say they are. That they're as good as they say they are. Our vote. We've made them earn our vote.
So, Kabu will be here next year because of your generous support.
Thank you, Kabu listeners. Thank you, Kabu from the Edge listeners. Thank you, Steve, for being the best engineer on the planet. We've been the best all next year. Same time, next station, same time, channel. Have a great, great channel. End of the year,
have a great, great next year.
End of the year, and see you next year. Bye.
The last day of 2015. Coming up this morning in about an hour, join us for Flashpoints. In about an hour, war and more war in Iraq. Today we'll have a frontline report on the battle against cities, universities, and investments in private industry. And we'll have an update on the battle against nuclear power and a new battle worldwide. At 11 today, we'll hear a special hour-long program on life and work of blacklisted Hollywood actress Marsha Hunt, who became a humanitarian hunt and activist. But first, Teresa Mitchell is up hosting Press Watch with news you're not supposed to know. With news, so make way, she's coming in any minute now. Thank you, Kabu members, for your support during 2015. We greatly appreciate it.
On Friday, January 1st, 8 to 10 a.m. Monday Night Club will be hosting the YouTube Night Television to Channel 2 World 8 and Channel 8 AM or 8 and turn the volume down. Turn your radio to WBOO's screen and on the internet. Find it on KBOO.FM.